I'm Chinee Ogwumike.
I'm Lisa Leslie, and we're very excited to tell you about our new podcast with Blue Wire, Front and Center.
Lisa and I are breaking down what's going on in our lives, in the world, and keeping it 100.
We're also learning from amazing guests as well, like Emmanuel Acho.
People that show love to me, I forever got their back.
Vivica A. Fox.
If the foundation isn't right, then the rest of it's going to go wrong from there.
And more.
Subscribe to Front and Center today.
Welcome to another episode of Purple Insider. Matthew Collar here, along with ESPN's Courtney Cronin. What is up, Courtney?
Just hanging in there. Bye week's over. Week 8 coming up. Second half. Home stretch. 2 more months of this. Whatever this is. I mean, I'm trying to mentally prepare myself here for what could be a very wild, but also maybe not a very wild, maybe a very awful 2 months. But yeah, these next 3 games coming up, I've kind of been like gearing myself up for what could be or what might not be. Like it's crazy when you think about the division stretch that they have here coming out of the break, how that could seriously alter like what they're going to do this offseason. So, I mean, I am a little excited just to kind of see like, all right, which team actually shows up, because I don't think anybody thought the team that showed up against Atlanta was going to be out there after the Seattle loss. But yeah, for a team that's 1-5, I feel like there's still a lot of news around this team and a lot of interest still with this fan base.
Yes.
At least in figuring out like what's going to happen beyond this year.
And I thought that things would be a little bit more interesting this week in terms of trades. What is your take on why nothing has happened yet? Are they waiting until after the Packers game to make some moves here? I mean, do you think that it's going to come down to the deadline? Because there was a report from Chris Mortensen that teams were going to try to get going before the deadline so they could get players in, get them through COVID protocols, and get them ready to go. But we have not seen that play out. So has your opinion changed in any way since there has not been trades as we record this? I'm refreshing Twitter every once in a while to make sure that nothing has happened as we speak.
I don't think it's too concerning right now. I mean, this is Thursday. The deadline is Tuesday. And typically the NFL is not a very active league when it comes to midseason trades. We know that. But this year, in the state that they're in the state that other teams are in too. I mean, obviously everybody's dealing with the coronavirus protocols and being able to get guys into practice. I mean, the Vikings are missing 4 cornerbacks right now. And one of them is Chris Jones, not the defensive tackle Chris Jones, but some cornerback that they just signed named Chris Jones, who can't get on the practice field yet because he's still going through protocol. I still think they could be really active, and I still think they could sell. It makes too much sense to do it, especially with certain players that they have, the Riley Reefs of the world, the Anthony Harrises, maybe even a Harrison Smith. Might be a little bit of a stretch, but you never know. Like, I think they're still in a position to sell high on certain guys to help their own situation right now and for the future, but will they do it, or will they kind of get caught up in the same stuff that kind of hindered them in the draft and then in free agency when they got greedy with draft picks? I don't know. I mean, it's really, I think, going to depend on what other teams' needs are before the Vikings are going to be able to pawn off a Riley Reiff, because this is a point where he could, you know, really solidify anybody's left tackle spot, especially if you're a playoff contender. You know, do you have multiple bidders? What's the deal? Is, you know, Cleveland, for example, with their safety depth, it's terrible. So like, why hasn't Anthony Harris gone there yet when they tried to get him anyways back in free agency when the Vikings tagged and traded him? So maybe it's a time thing. Maybe we're just waiting for a few more days. But, you know, at this point, I don't rule out that they could still do something to change the look of the roster. Because, I mean, they got the ball rolling with the entire league last week when they traded Yannick Ngakoue, which I still think was a great move for them to unload that.
Or at least the only move that they could do. I mean, sure. Right? It's either pay the man a lot of money that he's not worth, or get rid of him for something that remotely resembles what you traded for him. Now, here's a question for you, because we know that this team can be a little reactionary over the last few years. If they beat the Packers at Lambeau by 20 points, do they decide not to trade people then, or do you think that the course is set?
Well, watch something like that happen, because that would be the most Vikings game ever, where coming off of a horrific performance when really the pressure's kind of off them now. Watch Kirk go and throw for 343 yards and 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. The pressure's off. Like, they're 1-5, like they're not making the playoffs. Like, of course he'll play better now, right? Like, that's the logic. Even still, if they beat Green Bay, I don't think they're in a position where they're going to all of a sudden march towards 7-9 or 8-8 and make the playoffs. Like, I just feel like you have to not be short-sighted and get caught up in the wins that may potentially happen, the ones that you should win and the ones that you steal, because that it's just delaying the inevitable, right? Like, I wrote a piece the other day just about like some off-season moves. Like, if they don't want to be active at the trade deadline, fine, but you have to be next year because your cap is not in a good spot. And there's also several moves that you really should be making. Kyle Rudolph being one of them, restructuring Anthony Barr, a lot of different things that need to happen. Certainly what the heck's going to happen with Danielle Hunter. But I don't think it should, I really don't think it should alter one win here or there. I don't think that should alter things, but you know, people fighting for their jobs, to keep their jobs, i.e. Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer, might look at it differently. And I say fighting to keep their jobs. Yes, I'm well aware that they have 3-year contract extensions and that doesn't even start until next year, but you know, there's still nothing is guaranteed in this world. Nothing, you know, cold world, no blankets. Like, you've got to, you know, you've got to fight to keep your job, or at least like put out the appearance that you're fighting to keep your job. And that obviously is why Rick Spielman said what he said last week when I asked him, like, are you ready to concede a rebuild? He's like, no, we're still trying to win.
If the Wilfs can afford to pay whatever in dead cap money this year, you know, I mean, they have converted salaries to bonuses. They've handed out huge contracts, huge extensions. In comparison, a general manager and coach contract are just not that much. I mean, so if you're talking about, you know, 0.5% of the total that you plan on spending, it's just hard to see that holding them back if they truly want to make a change, even though there is a case because they extended them that you'll look a little silly if you get rid of them. But we see this in football all the time. Coaches get hired and get fired the next year. Even now, quarterbacks will get drafted and then traded the next year and they'll draft someone else. Like, it is a very, in general, reactionary league. And sometimes, like in Arizona, that works out. Sometimes you fire a coach in the first year after it doesn't work and the next guy is great. Sometimes the next guy is terrible. Like, it's hard to say, but
same thing with Dallas right now. They're right in a situation where they might be getting rid of their head coach.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and McCarthy, although he has kind of a built-in excuse now with his third quarterback playing, that maybe it's like a Detroit situation last year where they weren't good even with the starter, but once the starter goes out, you're really not good. But yeah, I mean, they signed, I think, McCarthy to a 5-year contract. They would blow that out in a second if they decided that he's just not the guy. And I look at it the same way. Like, we always should assess Zimmer and Spielman as if they're on year-to-year contracts, even if they have extensions, because I just don't think it's that big of a factor. Now, the question they're going to be asking themselves, I think, down the stretch, and even with this game, is just how does it look as it pertains to Mike Zimmer specifically? I think how it looks, even if you don't win a ton of games the rest of the way, will matter, because if you go to Green Bay and lose by 20 and Kirk throws 3 more interceptions and Zimmer's defense allows 500 yards to the Packers, and it looks like guys are just not even motivated to continue to play hard for Zimmer, that could be a pretty bad sign for his future. But I'll tell you, I don't have a very good feel. And I get this question, I'm looking at the Friday mailbag questions now for the website, and a lot of them are like, is the seat hot? How hot is the seat? What would the Wilfs do if this, and this? And we talk to Mark Wilf once a year, and he tries to kind of navigate the questions and say what he wants to say. And I just don't have a great feel for whether they would react to this Green Bay game in one way or the other. If they would say, hey, 5-2, we can get back in this thing. Don't trade anyone. or if they lose by 40, get rid of Zimmer. Like, I don't really have a good sense for this.
Yeah, I think that their bigger concern right now is the quarterback, right? Like that from what everything I've been hearing is, sure, the coaching situation, they probably are not thrilled that they gave out extensions prematurely. They're probably regretting that. Just because, like, the situation that you're in right now, like, that's just kind of an unfortunate thing when you've already locked yourself into, financially at least, a certain amount of money and a certain amount of years for Zimmer and Spielman. But I honestly think that their biggest concern is the play of the quarterback, because that is, that'd be financially catastrophic, like, to move on from him. And I know they're billionaires. I'm sorry, 41 and dead cap is a lot. And yeah. I think that that's probably keeping them up at night more so than Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman. But then again, it's like, you know, with all these things and how the next three games play out, like, so many people will ask me, well, what is it going to take for them to actually make changes? And the way that I interpret that is, well, what is it going to take for them to fire somebody or to move on from Mike Zimmer, Rick Spielman, who comes first? You know, is it losing to Green Bay and getting completely blown out? Is it losing all three of your next games to a Green Bay team that's clearly the best in the division, who you and I both picked to win the division preseason, a Detroit team that kind of looks like it might have its stuff together? Probably yeah. not. Yeah. But kind of, you know, they're 3-3. Like, what, you know, they're not awful. There's plenty of teams worse than them, including the Vikings. And then the Chicago team that, you know, clearly is not as good as its record indicates, but always manages to give the Vikings fits. Like, what is it going to take beyond, like, this stretch? It's why I think it's so important. Like, we talk about stretches that define the season. This could be one, because if they are just not good and, like, not competitive and not close, and injuries obviously are a huge thing right now, but, like, if you can barely field a team, like, whose fault is that? Like, I mean, it's just little things like that that made me think, okay, could there be some serious decisions made based on what happens these next couple weeks?
Go to sodastick.com to get your original Minnesota sports-inspired goods. If you have not seen this stuff yet and you've been listening to this podcast, what are you doing? Make sure you go check it out. A couple of my favorite designs. They've got new Gritty gear after the Vikings' young superstar receiver, and the Duck, Gray Duck, and much, much more. All their apparel is screen-printed here in Minnesota on super soft, super comfy shirts and hoodies, a few of which I have myself. You will love it. We are going to hook you up, by the way, with free shipping on your next order. Use Purple Insider for free shipping. The promo code Purple Insider. That's sodastick.com, SOTASTICK, original Minnesota sports inspired goods, code Purple Insider for free shipping. Well, let's decide. Let's look into your crystal ball and pick the schedule so you can tell us exactly how this is going to go, since your picks have been very accurate from training camp on.
Good Lord. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. Like, I do have my own crystal ball.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that said, and I picked the same thing, so I'm just picking on both of us, but the one that said 10-6 from the beginning. Yeah. Well, I will say that we did tweak our picks after Danielle Hunter was out, which we'll definitely get to in a bit. So let's go for it then. Vikings at Packers. They are 1-5, going to play 5-1. How does that go?
I already picked this game. I have them losing 37-30.
I think it's going to be fairly close too. I think that the Vikings can score against this defense. I think the Packers are fifth worst quarterback rating against. So they've actually not played particularly well on defense this year and have just, you know, had a great offensive performance. But I agree with you that I think Kirk has a good day. I think they put up a bunch of points. Justin Jefferson has a good day, and it's still not enough because no one is playing cornerback. All right. November 8th, home against the Detroit Lions.
I'd like to pick this game to be a loss, because I just feel like it will be. But I do think they can beat the Lions. I do. I think they'll lose this week, and then they're kind of in this rut, and it's like, all right, let's get it together against, you know, a really bad run defense, even though that run defense looked okay against Atlanta last week. I think they'll beat the Lions.
Okay, so they go to 2-6 and face the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field, where things usually go super great. And hey, Monday Night Football audience gets to see it on November 16th. Everyone will be super thrilled for this one. 2-6 Vikings versus the question marks Bears. How does that go?
That's a loss because it's Soldier Field. That's all I'm going into with that one.
All right, that's all you really need to say. That's their history. 2-7.
I'll never falter from that.
Yep. No, I'll pick against them in Chicago every year. I don't care if Patrick Mahomes gets traded here. at home against the Dallas Cowboys. There are 2-7.
It's a tough one because Dallas just traded their entire defense away. Like, the Vikings didn't have a defense. Dallas had a defense and then traded everybody away, including Everson Griffin, who they'll face 2 weeks before this game against Detroit. I bet this is actually going to be a win because Andy Dalton got rocked, and I don't know how long a concussion like that takes to recover from when your neck basically almost snaps off. So I think Dallas might be in more dire straits than the Vikings. So I will give Minnesota this win. And yeah, I think they will actually win pretty handedly against the Cowboys.
Again, the Fox broadcasters did not expect the 3:25 game between the Vikings and Cowboys to look like this on November 22nd. So the Vikings then go to 3-7 and they play Teddy Bridgewater's Carolina Panthers at home.
Loss.
I agree. Like, Carolina doesn't have much for defense, but Joe Brady and Teddy Bridgewater are cooking. Like, their offense looks great, and they would have two more wins if they could play defense at all. They lost to, who was it, Vegas on opening day, and then New Orleans, both close
Saints,
games,
yeah,
where the offense was great for them, and then their defense just couldn't hold up. So that puts them at 3-8 on the year. They face the pathetic Jaguars, who I keep wondering when they're going to fire their coach.
That'll be a win.
Yeah. So to four.
Didn't you hear Doug Marrone like going on and on his Zoom call about how he's like bleep fired up or something like that? Like, he used some swear words and
really, wow,
got everybody like super hyped up and motivated. Yeah. I think so.
Doug is a unique guy. I will just say that. So
who's their backup quarterback? And now that I think about it, just because I'm wondering, since Gardner Minshew has like fractures in his hand, assuming he has to like go bye-bye for a little bit. Like, who is their quarterback? Quarterback?
I think I know it. I'll give you a hint. He has a really long neck. Really crazy long neck.
I don't know who.
He used to play for the Bears, briefly for Arizona.
Kyle Orton?
Drafted by Tampa Bay.
Glennon.
Yes, yeah, Mike Glennon. Crazy neck. Yeah, that'll go great for Jacksonville. Yeah, that's probably going to be a win. I don't care who's coaching or playing quarterback or left tackle or anything. I think they're beating the Jaguars. So that puts them at 4-8 going to Tampa. 4-8.
Loss.
Yeah, 4-9. And then they play the Bears at home. And I don't mean to swing you one way or the other. This seems like a game the Vikings win and the Bears are just devastated.
A dumpster fire.
I can't believe we lost to the Vikings, who were 4-9 at the time.
They'll probably lose. I mean, Bears will probably lose that game just because, like, by the time that point in the season rolls around for them, probably not going to be great. Like, is Foles still their quarterback at that point? Do they have an offense? Because they don't have one now.
Right.
So yeah, that'll be a Vikings win. So what am I at? 5-9
is where you are going into the final 2 weeks against the Saints and the Lions.
And they lose both of those. So they're going to finish 5-11.
5-11. Yeah. So what does a 5-11 season mean for Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman and Kirk Cousins, if that's what happens?
Well, who do you want to like go through first? It's like, all right, so they're 5-11. Is it because of their quarterback play? Is it because, think about several games this year where Kirk has been the catalyst for why they've lost.
Yeah.
Certainly Atlanta, but like, think about the strip sack and what that led to in that 21-0 stretch by Seattle. Like, you can fault him for that in that moment. And then obviously Tennessee being, you know, what that was. Like, I'm not blaming Kirk for everything, but like, he is the catalyst for a lot of those losses. How does that affect, what does that trend continue here in these final 10 games? If so, then that to me is the first thing you're going to the table with, because you have to decide very quickly if he's going to be on your roster next year. And it's not just a matter of, we'll keep him around one more year. Maybe, you know, no, the cap number does not go down. Like, he's a $21 million base salary, fully guaranteed next year. He also still has $20 million in signing bonus, the proration of that over the final 2 years of the extension. The 2 years of the extension, because he had 1 year left, obviously, on the last deal. So nonetheless, $41 million in dead cap. And I'm trying to drill this into people's heads to realize, no, you can't keep him for 2021 and get rid of him for 2022, because 3 days into next year's league year, March, whatever that is, his base salary, which is $35 million, becomes fully guaranteed on the third day of the 2021 league year. His 2022 salary becomes guaranteed. So it's either all or nothing with Kirk. And I think that that's a really tough conversation. You know, if he continues to play very poorly, to me, it seems like the right conversation to have. And it seems like the necessary conversation to have with ownership. They have to be on board for that, because think of it this way. Like, if he's awful, and you don't have any sort of way to rebuild, like, because you just basically would be like in this, again, purgatory. Cause yeah, you'd pawn off some veterans, you'd cut some people, you'd restructure whatever, but like, you really don't want to be building around this guy anyways, if he's terrible. And you shouldn't be locked into him you don't want to be locked into him financially. So it's kind of like, we just need to take our lumps here and realize we want to speed. I mean, it's going to be a long process anyways, but we want to get the rebuild done as fast as possible, take advantage of our draft positioning, and do all of those things in order to right the ship at the quarterback position. But like, what if he's just mediocre? That's the Vikings, like, in my opinion, that's the worst case scenario. Like, let's say over these final 10 games, he's 5-5. Like, I mean, you're at that point, I don't think you're getting rid of him, because he'll have a 6-10 record as a starter, you know, this year. And that's, wait a second, did I just screw up the math?
No, if he wins 5 games the rest of the way, it'll be 6-10.
But they've got six. But I said they were going to be 5-11 this year.
Yeah. I thought you were saying hypothetically, if he's a 500 quarterback the rest of the way, that it means he probably played well enough to convince them to have him stick around.
Yeah, I did. I just, they have 10 games left, right?
See, I think, yes.
Okay. Sorry. My brain.
No, you didn't mess that up. You didn't mess that up. A pie chart's coming later. So,
oh God,
mess that one up. So this is an interesting thought to me, because I think that they should decide at this moment, or already have decided, that the plan for Kirk Cousins is going to be to play him in 2021 with Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields as his backup, or maybe even Mac Jones is an interesting name that has sort of emerged as a first round quarterback from Alabama as well, or even Kyle Trask. That guy is his backup. And then after 2021, they trade him to another team that's going to sign him to a contract extension to lower his cap hit, and they'll have him in the future. And I know that people think no one will ever trade for Kirk Cousins, and it's not the easiest thing to do, I'm sure, at this moment. But like you said, we know Kirk, when a bad thing happens, a good thing is around the corner. And when a good thing happens, a bad thing is around the corner. So all he needs to do is go 8-8 on a mediocre team in 2021, and someone will trade for him. I mean, there's always going to be quarterback desperate teams looking to trade for somebody who has a track record. There's always going to be a coach who's on the hot seat who says, let's go all in. I can help Kirk. I can figure him out. I think they should decide that is the plan today. But to your point for why Kirk is still to blame for the 1-5, despite the fact that they've had a horrible defense, I've got a stat for that. The average starting position that the defense has faced is the 36-yard line, their own 36-yard line. That is dead last in the NFL. And I think that tells you, like, how much turnovers and bad interceptions just destroy your chances as a defense. And we saw this last year, where Tampa Bay was not that bad of a defense. I'm not saying the Vikings aren't that bad, but Jameis Winston, with all of his interceptions, he just killed them. And I think the same thing has really happened this year with the Vikings. I mean, that last game, you start off the game, first pass is right to Deion Jones. And then all of a sudden you've got a touchdown, a play later. Well, how many defenses are stopping Julio Jones when you hand him the ball right basically in your red zone? Like, not that many. And then you don't have a good defense. So it just makes it worse and worse and worse. This is how some game managers help their defenses. Case Keenum did not turn the ball over at all in 2017. Number one defense was, yes, very talented, but also helped a lot by Case Keenum, the running game, the time of possession, all of those different things that they have not had as an offense. So even though it is not entirely on Kirk's shoulders, you could see when things don't go exactly right, and you don't have a defense that can bail you out when you make mistakes and turn the ball over, this is kind of what you end up with. And it's, you know, it's just not a quarterback worth paying as much as they're paying for it. So I think they need to have an exit plan now and not flutter in the wind and decide, well, you know, maybe we'll do it if blank, maybe we won't if blank. And I think the same thing should apply to the coach or GM. Decide now and then stick with it regardless of what happens the rest of the way.
Yeah, I do think that you should have the plan now so you're not in a situation. Like, I don't think they were discussing the quarterback situation in the midst of the 2017 season of what happens afterwards, in the middle of the crazy run towards the NFC Championship. That to me was something like, hey, we're going to just see if Case can continue to do this. Because they didn't really know if it was sustainable. So it's like they waited till after the season that year to truly dive in and decide. This is a situation where I think that they could start to kind of work, get some of that work done ahead of time, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm with you. I've kind of developed this, just like what I would do. From now on, draft a quarterback every single year. Like, mm-hmm. I really think that we should start, like, having serious conversations about that. I don't care if it's in the third or the fourth or the fifth round. Draft a quarterback every single year. And, I mean, you know, they've done it or they've signed somebody every single year as a UDFA. I mean, remember Jake Browning was the highest guaranteed, like, he's the highest paid in terms of, like, total guarantee that he got in 2019. Like, there's – to me, that's it's just – have a better backup situation in place than what you have currently. And then maybe that guy is groomed to take over when you realistically can move on, because that's another question I've gotten. Can they trade Kirk ahead of the deadline? A, who wants him right now? He's not playing great. And B, where's he going to go? They're like, oh, San Francisco. Like, sorry. Last I checked, Jimmy Garoppolo is still the quarterback there. And I don't think their cap situation is that great right now. So a lot of things would have to move around and change in order for that to happen. But, you know, there are ways you're going to incur financial penalty for this either way. And yes, there is some offset language. Like, if you did cut him, like, there is some offset language in 2021 that would, assuming another team does sign him, because I don't think he's too good to, like, be out of the league. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, he'll get signed somewhere. Obviously, it'll be on a reworked deal, and maybe this time around he doesn't have the luxury of kind of throwing it around being like, yeah, I'm gonna get a fully guaranteed deal. Like, if he continues to play the way he did and he gets cut, like, no one's signing you to a fully guaranteed deal. I don't care how good your agent is, but, you know, we'll see. But yeah, I think that you could very easily have a plan. I mean, heck, think about it last year with, like, the coaching stuff. Like, they were considering, hey, what about Stefanski? They were weighing their options about keeping Stefanski. Like, so it wasn't like, oh, they win a playoff game in New Orleans, oh, we should now decide to keep Stefanski. It was before then they were even talking about it. So
I think that you make a great point about trading him after this year, where it's almost impossible. I mean, the contract doesn't help you at all.
No.
And who wants to sell low? I mean, this is the problem with how the Vikings have done business pretty much since 2017, is let's pay top dollar for everything. Let's pay top dollar for our linebacker that we drafted in the first round in his second contract. Let's pay top dollar for Kirk Cousins. Let's pay top dollar for Yannick Ngakoue in a trade to bring him here. And, you know, I think that got them in trouble when you do that over and over and over again. So don't do the opposite of that and sell low. That's not the good time. The good time is if you go into 2021 and he plays pretty well, but you already know you're done with him. With Alex Smith, he led the league in quarterback rating the year they traded him. They just decided we're done with this. This can't work. And when I look around at the league, I mean, trying to use my crystal ball and look a couple of years out, think about a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, so let's say Roethlisberger plays this year and they go to, I don't know, the AFC Championship or something, then he's going to come back because he's going to say one more swing, one more bite at that apple in 2021. And then they probably don't play that great and they go 8-8 and Roethlisberger says, great career, I'm going to the Hall of Fame, see you guys later. The Pittsburgh Steelers are not a team who drafts a quarterback number one looking down the road. They're more of a team that's going to run it all the way to the end and then get somebody else to be their quarterback. I think there will be situations like this with teams that expect to win or teams that have had quarterbacks go bust. Like let's say Denver likes what they see from Drew Lock a little bit this year. They say, let's give him one more year, 2021. And then he's garbage. Like they wanted Kirk too. I think they were in the midst of the bidding there. So would they be a team? And I think when you start to consider how much quarterback situations shift from year to year, after 2021, there might be some opportunities to move on from him. And it gives that other guy the golden opportunity to sit and wait. But the fear I think that a lot of Vikings fans have is that what will happen is they'll look at this year if he has a decent end of the season and say, okay, here's what he really needs. He needs a defensive tackle to help him get the ball back like that.
Yep.
And you can totally see. And that's where, again, you have to decide on, you know, Spielman and Zimmer. And is this really the direction you want to go? Because I think that the Zimmer direction of wanting to invest a lot on the defensive side and rebuild that part is conflicting with what's best for the future. And that's why Zimmer might be better off coaching a team that's ready to win now, but has a bad coach than he would be for the future of the Vikings. Just philosophically, there's a conflict there.
How wild would it be if what we thought could have played out in 2020 with Zimmer going to Dallas, whether he was traded or not, like if they fire McCarthy, who's to say that, you know, they don't try to pull something off this year? If Jerry really wanted Mike last year and it was going to take a first round pick and, you know, however much else, and, you know, the Vikings could have had Stefanski, whatever. If that's still on the table, maybe that's his best situation, because honestly, I agree completely. It's like, if this season goes as poorly as we expect it to, do you really think you can try to like run it back with the same leadership and the same guidance next year and not have the same result? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't, and especially like, say you're in a situation or in a position to draft a quarterback, one that like either plays next year, or one that's like, you know, a young impressionable dude that's going to like a high draft pick, not some like third rounder, but like somebody you expect to take over after Kirk. Mm-hmm. Do you want Zimmer leading the charge on that? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Like, you know, with rookie quarterbacks, is he the right guy to do that? So yeah, I think, and anyways, like even if they didn't go like full on rebuilding of the coaching staff, like if it was just the head coach, like if they kept other pieces, you still, every time, typically once one coach moves on or is fired or whatever, the team takes the opposite approach. So Zimmer's defensive guy, it would make sense for them to hire an offensive person, like as the leader, and especially if you have a quarterback situation you're trying not to screw up. Like I would do that.
Even though sports took a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that means hiring is more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gets you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. And with 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire that you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed with $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now, Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action with BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season, from game spreads and totals to team and player and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division championships, and futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Well, and this is sort of where the league's going anyway. I mean, when you look at punt numbers, they're way down. Marwin Maloof mentioned how far down punt numbers are because offenses are thriving. Jimmy Garoppolo has been playing hurt and not even playing that well, and the 49ers are still 4-3 because they have a genius head coach in Kyle Shanahan. And the Cleveland Browns do not have a good defense either. They just got demolished on defense by Joe Burrow, and yet they're a winning team because their offense is amazing. And I'm not saying defense doesn't matter. It most certainly does. And the way to win at football is to be good at both things. But I think that the offensive side is weighted heavier when it comes to being a good team. And we've seen that the last 10 teams to make the Super Bowl all were in the top five in points scored. And if Zimmer is not going to go along with investing in the long-term future at the quarterback position, the most important in the franchise, and rather wants more corners or another linebacker or a defensive line, that just to me doesn't add up. And someone sent me a note about, because I don't know when I did this, but comparing like relationships to where the Vikings situations are at. And I think of it this way, that if you are with somebody who wants to live in the country and have a ranch like Gary Kubiak and Mike Zimmer, and they want to have horses and everything else and pigs and chickens running around, and you want to live in the city in a high rise where, you know, you belong to a very cool gym and you buy expensive bags or whatever, I don't know, that you can't go forward together. If you have totally
different,
if your future as a relationship, you just can't go forward with that person.
No, it's just like conflicting philosophies, like fitting a square peg into a round hole. Like, it doesn't make sense. And there's no harm in that. There's not saying that one's better than the other, but one is probably better suited for the overall direction of your franchise. So if you're forced into that situation, do not make it difficult on yourself, but being like, well, maybe we can try to make this work one more time. No, move on. Like, you know, you've got to cut the umbilical cord at some point, because you can't continue on trying to be like, okay, well, this time it'll be different. Like, you need fresh blood in there. I think that that's kind of like the vibe that I get from people speaking with people around the organization, is maybe a change of voice, a change of perspective, not having the same thing over and over again for 7 years. If that's the way that they want to go, maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing.
And even sticking with the example, like, just because you have different visions for the future and those don't add up to a successful marriage, that doesn't mean like either one of you are bad people. Like, no. I don't think Mike Zimmer is a bad coach. I don't even think that Kirk Cousins is a bad quarterback, but he came to a team that immediately spent money on a defensive tackle like the day after he arrived, and they let Tom Compton play guard, and they let Laquon Treadwell be the number three wide receiver. And they said, no, we've got to spend money on Sheldon Richardson. And you and I love Sheldon. He's one of the great personalities we've ever covered. But I mean, that just shows you that has been where they've wanted to spend their money and not put everything into Kirk Cousins. And I think that even for 2021, it might be interesting just to see if they did. Like, just if somebody came in and said, you know what, we're going to throw the ball a lot. We're not going to run on 2nd and 12. We're going to get you not one, not two. I'm doing the LeBron. Not three. We're going to get you 4 receiving weapons. We're going to get you 5 receiving weapons. And then have at it, Kirk, and let's see how this works out instead. And then if it doesn't, you just hand it over to the next guy in the draft and you say, you're inheriting a great offense. And so go forth, young man. So I just think that we've reached a situation where that's sort of an impasse of this being able to work with these three. Now, I have a pie chart situation for you if you want it.
I'm ready.
Okay. Things to watch the rest of the way, because the Vikings playoff odds are about 2% at this moment. I don't know what ESPN has them at. Football Outsiders has them at about 2%. So
that sounds about right, because they were basically at like, what was it before?
There's like 5%
when they were like 1-4. Yeah.
Yeah.
Based on the other teams that had done it. So.
So you're not watching for the playoff run. It's possible, but not really. So what are you watching for? I want you to give me percentages that of intrigue that you have.
Okay.
Justin Jefferson and everything that Justin Jefferson can do the rest of the way, and how he adapts to coverage, focusing on him. Because I was looking back at Randy Moss's rookie season, and there were even a couple of games where Moss was not dominant during that rookie season and then adjusted and killed everyone for the rest of his career. The cornerback progression, or in Mike Hughes's case, does he play again, would be another part of this. So Justin Jefferson, cornerback progression, the defensive line, and just who steps up now that Yannick Ngakoue is gone, and just Ezra Cleveland. Ezra Cleveland is the other one. So those are your four. Give me percentages of how intrigued you are by those four things the rest of the way.
Okay, give me 2 seconds. I will be very quick.
How intrigued are you by these things? This is a pie chart. Okay, that's all the time.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right.
All right. So Justin Jefferson adapting, you know, what does this look like? Because everybody's calling him a star, and Matt LaFleur saying he's going to be number one receiver. So I'm like, oh Christ. Like, that means that if you're a fantasy owner, start Adam Thielen this week, because Jefferson is getting bracketed. He's getting two guys on him in man coverage. Like, whatever it is, they're going to take Justin Jefferson out of this game. That is their game plan. Read between the lines of what Matt LaFleur was saying. So I'm curious, like even Gary today was talking about, you know, like, they want to keep him healthy. They want to keep him on the field. The progression has been so fun, but it's like, it's going to get harder because, you know, we figured out that you're really good. Other teams have also figured out you're really good, and that we're not just playing in the slot. Like, you know, they settled him down. And then once they realized, yeah, this is not just a slot receiver, we're going to play him outside, especially since we only go too wide a lot with our receivers. Like, he can do a lot, but teams are going to catch up to that. So 60% for Justin Jefferson.
Oh,
I am all in on
the, far
I'm
more
all
intrigued
in on
by
the
Jefferson than anything else.
Jets train, what do you call it? Yeah. So yeah, 60%.
You are doing the gritty as we speak.
I am grittying my way.
How old
into
did I
week
sound
eight.
At that?
You sounded very old.
Very old and sad. Okay. So to the next one.
Cornerback progression. 20%, because you know what? I don't think it's going to get any better. What I reported yesterday is that everything is trending towards Mike Hughes being put on IR, potentially a season-ending surgery. Like, they're leaning towards shutting him down because the neck injury is not getting better. Last I checked, you only have one neck. It's not like, oh, one knee hurts and then the other knee hurts and they're different injuries. Like, this is all related to that week 17 injury he had last year. He didn't have surgery from it then. I remember we talked to him about it and he said that, you know, it was something that was able to heal on its own. Maybe this is a point where they want to have him have surgery. Obviously, that's very, very tough for a career that never got off the ground. They probably don't pick up his fifth year option. And that's just talking about Mike Hughes. I'm not all that intrigued. Like, I mean, sort of with the cornerback progression, we're not able to see that much that you can take away. Like, yeah, that's better week to week. Like, I just don't think you are going to see that where it's going to look that tangibly different from, you know, where we are week 8 into like week 13. So 20%, I mean, obviously they're a huge storyline. I looked up a stat today. Jeff Gladney, of the 76 cornerbacks to be targeted at least 20 times, has allowed a passer rating of 140.3 as the nearest defender in coverage this season. That's the worst. So yeah, like I'm looking forward to seeing, does that get better? Also, like, are they literally signing dudes off the street, like, or former CFL players to like to do this? Because they're in a bad spot right now. Like, if Holton Hill, you know, with the foot injury, and Hughes and Cam Dantzler's on the COVID thing and can't even get
our pets heads are falling off.
Chris Jones, the non-defensive tackle Chris Jones, can't even get him at practice. Like, what are you doing? Like, that's
Dumb and Dumber. Are you a Dumb and Dumber fan? You seen it? Movie?
Not quite.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's where the our pets' heads are falling off comes from. But go on, carry on. So 60% to Justin Jefferson, 20% to the corners.
20% to the corners. You're going to hate me for this one. So I'm going to I'll go in progression. I changed the order around. I'm going from like most to least. 15% for Ezra Cleveland. I'm curious, like, because are they going to trade Riley Reiff? That's the obvious one of why it would be intriguing, because then you get him over at, over at left tackle, and that's the spot that you drafted him at. Like, I assume unless they're going to activate Elflein off IR, because he's in that 21-day window, I assume that Ezra will continue to play right guard for now. But I am curious, once Elflein comes back, where does Ezra go? Because it better not be back to the bench at this point, because that is just a waste, and it just does not look good. And he needs to play, because he's going to be playing next year. Riley Reiff, I will maintain my stance, he is not on your roster in 2020. 15%. So I'm a little bit less intrigued by that than the cornerback progression. Probably should have made it even, whatever. I was trying to be cute with the numbers, like, so I could do my own math. And then for the defensive line, I put it at a straight up 5%.
Not at all then, basically.
Not at all, because they're going to be blitzing a ton since they can't pressure the quarterback as it is.
And just how intriguing really are Afadi Adenabo, Jalen Holmes, maybe DJ Wanham a little, but I've got to see.
And James Lynn, sure. But like, we know Jahlil Johnson is not on this roster next year. Yep. He is not your solution at three technique. I'll be intrigued by the defensive line when I figure out what their draft positioning is. And then I figure out, are they going to go after, like, are they in position to draft a quarterback? If not, then they're probably drafting a defensive tackle, a three technique in that first round. So then I'll be, so call me, call when draft scout comes back, when you call her up to activate for the season, then she'll be interested in the defensive line.
Okay. I like the pie chart. I think that you are right on with Justin Jefferson is the thing to watch the rest of the way. I might've given a little more juice to the cornerbacks just because Gladney and Dantzler have been awful, and that's expected. And I'm not saying they're busts, but they've been among the worst corners in the NFL. Can they not be that for the next 10 weeks? Or when we get to the end of the season, are quarterbacks still turning into Joe Montana mixed with Peyton Manning when throwing the ball at them? I think you want to see progress. I'm kind of concerned about how they talked about Dantzler as being so smart and great with technique, and then that's just not been the case. I mean, the technique there, if you watch the tape back, have been a lot of problems with just simple things like knowing where his leverage is, knowing where his help is, just getting way off wide receivers in certain types of coverages where he needs to play tight. There's been a lot of issues there. So I'm a little more intrigued in the progress. Totally less so, unless Ezra Cleveland is playing left tackle, then I'm interested. And I agree with you on the D-line. Like, I don't know, you need new players. I mean, it's really that simple.
Yes, you need new players. That's the excuse.
But yeah, that is so true. I do need a take from Courtney, our draft scout, on a mock. A very interesting mock. Eric Edholm, our pal from Yahoo Sports, has the Minnesota Vikings taking Zach Wilson in his most recent mock, in which he titled Mocktober. So
Mocktober?
Zach Wilson, give me a Courtney R. draft scout take. What's that?
The quarterback from BYU.
Yes. Yep. Very exciting.
I don't know anything. I mean, I don't really know anything about him, but like,
oh, you've got to start skull searching. See, you've got to get on board with the skull searching. I've already gone headfirst into the quarterback draft class. Zach Wilson is legit great.
So you think he'll be behind Trevor Lawrence as the number two taken? Like, potentially? Or is it still, you think, I mean, honestly, it's kind of embarrassing because draft scout should be like well ahead of where she is right now.
It is October though.
I mean, I still think it'd be the logical choices would be Lawrence and Fields and then Trey Lance, but like, maybe I should start watching a little bit more.
It's time.
What the hell conference are they in? What?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Just when Zach Wilson is playing, you watch him. That's what you do.
Okay. I know he has a headband. I'm looking at a photo of him right now. Guy looks like Jim McMahon with this Jordan headband.
That's right.
Nice hair, dude. This guy's got like a coiffed. Is that what you call it?
You know
like,
what? And he's perfect. He plays like a dude who wears a headband. Like, he's gutsy. Yeah. He moves around. He's got the great arm and just like has a little bit of boss to him, even though he looks like he's very young. So that's a guy you need to get on board with the skull searching and start grinding that BYU tape. In this mock, it actually has Wilson going behind those other quarterbacks that you mentioned, Justin Fields and Trey Lance. But Dane Brugler reported that there's some buzz all of a sudden that Zach Wilson could be moving up, which I think is good news for the Vikings, because that means Justin Fields or Trey Lance are moving down, like that there's a shuffle here that one of them could end up playing for the Minnesota Vikings. So that's keep wild. An eye on that. Last thing before we wrap up, your take on Danielle Hunter, not on the injury, on mm-hmm. the other part of the report for me in Rappaport, that he wants to be highest paid or traded next year.
That's carrying the water for the agent. I totally understand what it was and putting that out there. I think it's a little rich because the guy has not played this year. Like, let's not forget, neck injuries are serious. Like, he was so bad that he had to have surgery to fix it. And so that's why I just, to expect that Danielle's going to come back. And I know Mike Zimmer said yesterday, we expect him, be, didn't have a timetable, but he should be playing football again soon. Not like there's overarching confidence that, he's going to be back to Pro Bowl form and, 14 and a half plus sacks next year and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's the 18th highest paid at his position right now. Does he deserve to be paid more than that? Yes. But am I going to pay him Joey Bosa money off a season he didn't play? No. What are you doing, guy? Come on, Zeke. The agent, what? That is insane. To go out there and what I assume, and granted, I was an anonymous source, whatever. That came from somebody who represented Danielle Hunter, who has his best interest in mind. And I don't think the Vikings are in a position to do it, mm-hmm. even with Yannick Ngakoue off the roster. That is a tough spot for them to concede that they would want to pay him that much. And I also, I don't know. I mean, how he recovers from this, what it looks like going forward. But also, you're going to be making that decision. If he wants to be traded, that's a free agency type move because, depending upon what you get, draft picks, things like that, unloading his number and not having to pay him a ton of money. Yeah, that would probably be happening sooner rather than later. But at this point, it was already on the table for 2021. Danielle Hunter was not being seriously discussed this year as we should probably pay him in 2020, fix it now. Mm-hmm. They didn't need money. They broke. And so but next year was the year it was supposed to happen. But now it's can you fault them if they don't?
Right.
If they trade Danielle Hunter, they'll be getting back a nice haul. I think he's a great player, but at the same time, that's a big risk you're taking. If you were to make him the highest paid, which Bosa makes $27 million a year. If you would have asked me before the injury, was Danielle Hunter worth something like that? I don't know if I would have said 27, but I would say at least top five for sure.
It's hard to give quarterback money to a player who's not a quarterback is the way that I look at it. There's a range you get into that as soon as you clear that at almost any position, you're just not worth it. Maybe the exception to that would be DeAndre Hopkins. Maybe he is worth quarterback money because he will help your quarterback so much. But aside from that, if you're not a quarterback and you want 27 mil, I don't know. That is too rich. But I also think that it is just somebody trying to position themselves for the future rather than really having a good argument for that to happen. But if that's what they want, then you could trade players on IR, make those phone calls now, I would say. So
yeah,
it's just another wrinkle to a very interesting rest of the way that we will have, Courtney.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, that's one that we're not going to be talking about in depth right now, but it's always going to be right there. And that's just another layer to what could be a very complicated offseason.
And that's the thing about, who you want calling the shots. Do you want to pay another defensive player a lot of money to keep him around because you have a lot of holes? Or do you want to say, you know, who would love that money is our offense. You know, it's just, that's, these are the decisions that you'll have to make. So great stuff as always. People should go look at your Twitter. You've pinned it. The piece that you had on the Vikings rebuilding and where they are right now. Very good stuff. So people should go check that out. And I appreciate your time as always.